Greetings, everyone. Welcome to Church at Home. Church at Home is sponsored by the Christian Biblical Church of God, and we are dedicated to restoring original Christianity for today. How do you worship God? Now, the world is filled with religions, philosophies, ways of life. We perhaps have more things than any recent society, including all the electronical and digital things that we have. And yet, what is missing in the lives of most people? Are we happy? How about our families? How about our country? How about the world? How do you worship God in such a world? Now, we have many things on Church at Home. So what I want you to do, in addition to this series that we're going to do on how to worship God, I want you to go to the series to return to God, how to pray. And we will see that prayer is the most important thing in worshiping God. So you might ask the question, where is God? And how can I worship Him? And that's especially true when there are so many religions and so many versions of Christianity. And that's another whole story. But where do you begin in worshiping God? And how do you worship God? Well, human history goes in cycles. And what is that television program, Back to the Future? Well, here we are, back to the same way, religiously, the same place, philosophically, the same rejection of the true God in the world today, as they were during the days of the Apostle Paul. The parallels are absolutely uncanny. The reason being is that the Word of God is true. The Word of God tells us what we need to know. So let's begin right where Paul began with those in Athens, Greece during his ministry, who were wholly pagan, given over to idols, false gods, false philosophies, and let's look at the parallels. And this tells us the reason why we need to worship God. And this also tells us the reason why we don't have things nice and pleasant and wonderful today. So let's begin, Acts 17 and verse 16. But while Paul was waiting for them at Athens, he saw that the city was wholly given to idolatry, and his spirit was sorely moved within him. Now today we have the same thing. Do you have physical things that you love? Is it an idol? Because you see, in order to pray to the true God, you cannot have idols. And as a matter of fact, you cannot follow the philosophies of these men, Plato, Aristotle, and besides. They all learned their philosophies from Babylon. So like it says in Ecclesiastes, there's nothing new under the sun. Verse 18, then some philosophers of the Epicureans and Stoics encountered him, and some of them said, what will this babbler have to say? And some said, he seems to be a preacher of foreign gods, because he was preaching to them the gospel of Jesus and the resurrection. And they took him and brought him to Mars Hill. Now, this was a tremendously important point, and historically, absolutely vital. Now, Mars Hill, that's where the Pantheon is. And they had their school of philosophers. And the school of philosophers was, to the Greek society, the same equivalent of the Sanhedrin to the Jewish society. Everything emanated from their philosophies, their thoughts, and guess what? They also believed in evolution. So again, is there anything new under the sun? No. So they took him to Mars Hill. They said, "May we know what this new teaching is that is being spoken by you? For you are bringing certain strange things to our ears." Very interesting, isn't it? In today's Christianity, which is completely upside down from what the New Testament teaches, what we teach here at Church at Home sounds as disturbing and upside down as what Paul was teaching them in Athens. And the reason is, our society today is based upon the Greek philosophies, the same philosophies that we're reading of here.
The Greeks, a people glorious and arrogant, valiant and headstrong. These were the men and women who laid the very foundations of Western civilization. Their monuments still recall perhaps the most extraordinary two centuries in history. A time which saw the birth of science and politics, philosophy, literature and drama. Which saw the creation of art and architecture. We still strive to equal.
So they said, "So then we desire to know what these things mean." Now all the Athenians and strangers sojourning among them spent their leisure in nothing other than to tell or to hear something new. Then Paul stood in the center of Mars Hill and said, like standing right in front of Congress today, "Men, Athenians, I perceive that in all things you are very reverent to deities." Now that's an interesting statement. You need to go to our series, Who and What is Satan the Devil? Remember this, wherever there are idols, the true God is not there. Remember this, there is another great spirit being who is called the God of this world, who wants to be worshipped as God, and as a matter of fact, rebelled against the true God and the one who became Jesus Christ to try and establish himself as God. And because of that, he was cast down to the earth. And he is the one who the New Testament shows, 2 Corinthians 4:4, is the God of this world. Now, why do I say that? Because if you're going to worship the true God, you can't worship him through the means of false gods, false philosophies, false teachings, twistings of scripture, etc. Can't be done. Now, if you're familiar at all with Christianity, you've heard John 3:16 pronounced over and over and over again. And they use it at sports events and signs and plaques and in shading under their eyes. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him may not perish, but may have everlasting life. So they say, if you confess your sins to him, which you need to, and accept him as your personal Savior, which you need to, then everything is done, you are set to go to heaven, which is a lie. Now, how can I best explain that? This way. You go to a car dealer, and you say, I want to buy this model of car, so forth. He says, okay, we'll get it for you. So he has one of the employees push out onto the showroom floor the frame and the wheels. And he says, here's your car. And you look at that and say, I want the complete car. Well, that is an example of modern Christianity, because the frame and the wheels are just the beginning. It's not the finished product. Likewise, a part of Christianity, or a quoting of a scripture, does not reveal the fullness of Christianity. That's why you need our book, Why Christianity is Failing in America. And you also need our book, God, Know God, so that you understand that evolution is the most foolish, satanic, evil thing that has been foisted upon the world. Do you understand it? It can never be. Now let's continue here. Reverent to deities. Now deities are the demons, the fallen angels, that were cast down by God who followed Satan the devil. And have devotions, idols, pictures, statues. Verse 23, for as I was passing through and observing the objects of your veneration, I also found an altar on which was inscribed to an unknown God. Now, they wanted to make sure that they covered all of the gods, all the false gods, and there are thousands of those. So they had this veneration to an unknown God, just in case we missed giving a devotion to him and we would miss a blessing from him. Now, is that superstitious or not? Paul continues, so then whom you worship in ignorance is the one that I proclaim to you. Now, why is that important for us today? Because people believe in philosophies and ignorant theories and reject God. So Paul, coming right into the center of the whole college of philosophers, being asked to speak to them, said, you are ignorant. Just as ignorant as anyone would be today to accept a car frame and wheels as the completed product. Let's go on. So the one he proclaims to them, he says, verse 24, he is the God who made the world and all things that are in it. Being Lord of heaven and earth, he does not dwell in temples made by hands. Now think of that. I want you to stop and think on that for a minute. Maybe a little longer. First of all, let's talk about creation. Because God named and numbered all of the stars, all of the galaxies. Everything on Earth has design, has structure, has beauty, and even you are created through genes and chromosomes. And you have a separate identity. And guess what? They have never found any missing links. Evolution is a hoax. It is a lie. It is a rejection of the true God. And it is, as Paul said, ignorant. He says in other places, those who profess themselves to be wise are fools. Now let's go on. He does not dwell in temples made by hands. How many temples are there? How many churches are there? How many cathedrals are there? And how are they built? And how many idols do they have on them? Let's see what God wants. Someone come to worship him. What does he really want? Does he want you to crawl 5 miles on broken glass shards so your knees bleed and are ruined for the rest of your life? Is he delighted in that? Is he delighted if you make something for him? A beautiful temple? Now Solomon did. What happened to him? What happened to the temple? Isaiah 66, let's go here. Verse 1. Thus says the Lord, the heaven is my throne and the earth is my footstool. Now think about that. Think about all the possessions that you have and how important they may or may not be in your own mind. And all of that you own. God owns the heavens and the earth. And we're going to see that he made you too. So God says, where then is the house that you build for me? And where is the place of my rest? And Paul saw all of these devotions and all of these idols and venerations and sayings. Now God says this, verse 2, for all these things my hand is made, and those things came to be, says the Lord. Now think of all of the fantastic buildings and temples that men have been building from time immemorial to gods and all demon satanic gods. You can only build it out of what God has already created. So what are you going to do for him? But to this one will I look. Now here we start with the beginning of the proper attitude for prayer. That you can pray to God. And that is the first step in worshiping God. And we're going to see it's a whole lot more than a lot of people have ever thought. Here's what God says. But to this one will I look, to him who is of a poor and contrite spirit, and trembles at my word. Now that says a lot, right? If you tremble at the word of God, you what? You believe it. You obey it. You follow it. Question. Do you know the Ten Commandments? Question. Do you keep them? Or do you believe the lie that the law has been done away? Again, let's use the analogy of this expensive car. Okay? Here's this expensive car now, complete. You say, oh, wonderful, 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 wonderful. Oh, I'm so glad that I have this. And then you proceed to take it apart. You throw this away, you throw that away, you throw the other thing away. And pretty soon you're back down to the frame and the wheels. Because the biggest lie ever believed in Christianity and foisted upon a people and the root cause for all of our problems in the world is the law has been done away. And you can't worship the true God who is lawgiver and believe that lie. So in order to pray, in order to worship God, you've got to be like this man here, who is poor and contrite spirit. Not exalted, not haughty, not know-it-all, but loving and serving God. Now then, if you don't do that, if you have the greatest temple in the world, you have the most beautiful one, if you have the most gold, the most silver, the most finely dressed priesthood, if you have thousands of statues of saints and so-called past important people strung around the top of the columns of your temple, and you have a wonderful ceremony with pomp and circumstances and music and great crowds there, all having their little rosaries and all of their little prayers. How does God view that? See, they all think they're worshiping God, and they all have this tremendous building and this tremendous ceremony. But here's what God says. He who kills an ox as if he killed a man, because at that time they brought animal sacrifices. So if the heart wasn't right, all the animal sacrifices in the world meant nothing. He who sacrifices a lamb as if he broke a dog's neck. He who offers a grain offering as if he offered swine's blood. And that's what Antiochus Epiphany did to the altar in Jerusalem in the 160s B.C. Sacrificed a pig on it. He who burns incense is as if he blessed an idol. You ever seen those ceremonies? Now they think they're worshiping God. They think they're praying to God. They even use the name of Jesus, even use the name of Lord, even use the name of God.
Today's question is, why do Catholics burn incense in the Mass? Why do we burn incense? Well, this is a complicated question, in part because incense and the burning of incense is a very ancient tradition. Incense is very expensive and hard to get. And because of that, the burning of incense was a real sacrifice. And so we burn incense as a sacrifice to God, as part of our worship of God. Why do we burn incense? Well, we burn incense to bless people or objects. Why do we burn incense? We burn incense sometimes to sanctify or make holy a person or object.
But what does God say? Yea, they have chosen their own ways, and their soul delights in their abominations. Isn't that something? Oh, this great work we're doing for God. That's not for God. That's not worshiping the true God. Now, you need to write for our booklet, Keys to Answered Prayer. God or no God? Lord, what should I do? Now, we have a lot of material to help you, but I'm going to tell you one thing. To find the true God and to worship the true God and to pray to the true God is not like Twitter. You got that? Because you're created for a greater purpose than thinking everything is summarized on Twitter, and now you're the most educated in the world. So once again, thank you for inviting me into your home. So be sure and write for these booklets, and visit our website, truthofgod.org, and there you will find the truth of God from the Word of God, from the God of truth.